Welcome to the only show that cuts into the big issues behind the best books on politics and world affairs. I'm Derek Conway, and this week Epilogue is reviewing Israeli Apartheid, A Beginner's Guide, written by Ben White, a young journalist who's applied his considerable intellect to the way Israel's laws apply to only some of its citizens. Before I tell you about my studio guests, let's take a look at this brief introductory video.
Gathering the work of academics and experts, Ben White's Israeli Apartheid, A Beginner's Guide, provides an insight into life under Zionist occupation. Examining the origins of Israeli Zionism and the invasion of Palestine in 1948, White exposes Zionist myths and provides graphic testimony on how the Palestinian people were driven from their homes, persecuted and robbed of their lands. Giving clear examples of apartheid, the author also uses his own experiences in Palestine to depict the struggles of daily life under Israeli occupation. The book has been praised by many prominent authors, including apartheid survivor and South African civil rights leader, Archbishop Desmond Tutu. In today's epilogue, we will be talking about Israeli Apartheid, A Beginner's Guide by Ben White.
Ben White begins with a brief history of Zionism, moves on to the establishment of an Israeli state, and then, in more depth, examines individual laws which discriminate against Arab citizens exclusively, which is why he was motivated to look at the apartheid nature of these often very severe laws and regulations. To discuss the book, I'm joined in the Press TV studios by Professor Jeffrey Alderman, an author and distinguished academic who is Professor of Politics and Contemporary History at Buckingham University, and Majdi Akhil of the Palestinian Return Center, who was born in Gaza and was imprisoned by the Israelis for over 2 years. Welcome to you both. Now, this is not a big book, and not as legalistic as it might have been. But what do you make of the book? What do you make of the author? Jeffrey, what did you think of it?
I think this is a miserable book, but I'm glad it was written. When I teach the history of the Middle East, and particularly of Zionism, to my students, the first lecture or seminar I have to devote to is to undoing all the myths that have been pumped into them.
Yeah.
And I'm going to use this book because it's an excellent example of that, of how not to write the history of Zionism, the history of Israel, the history of Palestine. I was amazed, for example, there's nothing in here about the first partition of Palestine by the British, who hived off East Palestine, which is now called Jordan, which in fact has a law in its constitution forbidding Jews from becoming citizens of Jordan. I as a Jew cannot become a citizen of Jordan. There's nothing about the Islamic terrorist attacks on the Jews in Hebron and Safed in 1929. All that's missed out. And not only are there sins of omission, there are sins of commission here. For example, Derek, on page 16 we have a subsection headed "A Land Without a People." Now, why is that there? No Zionist, to my knowledge, ever said that Palestine was a land without a people. The phrase was concocted by Christian Zionists in Britain in the early 19th century. The only Jew of any prominence who may have said anything like that was Israel Zangwill, the famous Anglo-Jewish author at the end of the 19th century, early 20th. But of course, Zangwill wasn't actually a Zionist. So what you get in this book is cut and paste. It's bits of history taken out of context in order to support a particular political view.
Do you think this is more sort of a journalist take on things than an academic?
This is a polemical journalist take in order to push a certain philosophy.
Yeah. Majid, what did you make of it?
Personally, I think it is very, very nice book. It put the dots on the letters, as we say in Arabic language. It mentioned very clear facts, which is completely neglected by the media, especially Western media, about the origin of this problem, of the Palestinian issue, if you can call it. We lived with Jews completely in peace. All the history, Muslims and Arabs, or the Jews lived in Palestine or any other Arab countries before the Balfour Declaration, in complete of peace and love. My father's GP, he was a Jew. He was living neighbor our village, and my family invited...
This is in Gaza?
No, in my original village, south of Tel Aviv, which called Beit Daras, and many times they invited him to our house or sent gifts to him. It was good relationship. The main problem is Zionism. When they pretended that Palestine for the Jews only, how can you believe that a country full with people, about 800,000 people for thousands of years, belongs to a specific group? Majority of them are abroad, living in America, Russia, and they have the right of nationality or citizenship just when they arrive. This is completely unacceptable. But let us take it very easy. The mapping of the Middle East happened by the British. We are not responsible as Palestinians. Ask the British government when they gave Jordan to King Abdullah and they gave Syria to French people after Sykes-Picot agreement. It is not our fault. The mapping of the Middle East happened by intention by the British and French governments. So this book mentioned many, many facts, and I say that it should be more, because a lot of points didn't mention. If there is time, we can tell how many things which considered as anti-human being or anti-international laws didn't mention in this book.
I mean, I think this program wouldn't be long enough if we were able to broadcast for a day to go into the establishment of Israel and the rights or wrongs and how people perceive Zionism or otherwise. But I think what is of interest specifically in this book are where laws exist today that differentiate between people. I mean, if here in Britain, we're broadcasting from London, if the British government decided it would have a law that only applied to Hindus and nobody else, there'd be a tremendous row. I mean, it just wouldn't be acceptable in the European Union.
It would depend what law it was.
Yeah.
It would depend what law it was. If it said that Hindus can have days off paid leave to recognise their religious holidays, I don't think there'd be a big row. Maybe there would, but a lot of people would support that law.
Well, let's just have a little look at what the author has to say for himself, and then we'll come back to this issue, because I took the opportunity to ask the author directly about his book. So let's see what he has to say for himself.